The Holy Gospel comes from the first chapter of Mark. As soon as the disciples and Jesus had left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
Please be seated, and if there are any children today here that I would like to talk to you for a moment, please. Somebody come up. We got a couple. All right, I see a couple. That's good. And Gail, if needed. No. Oh, thank you. Sure, yeah. If you could just put it over there in the corner, that would be great.
Thank you.
Well, I will. Thank you. All right, that table. Well, let's put it more. Can you put it more over here so that we're going to use that table on the service? So get ready for it. Thank you. All right. All right. So I have here. There's a. You know, we have church on Sunday morning at 8:30. Which is now, which is early, isn't it? 8:30 is kind of early, isn't it? I agree completely. I keep telling Pastor Beth, she should do the 8:30 service, and then I'll come at 11. But we haven't worked that out yet. That's probably not going to work out the way I want it to. But we also have now some people meet on Thursday for Thursday church. And one of the things they did on Thursday was they created this chain of remembrance. Check it out. So here, can you hold one end? It's kind of fragile, but we can stand up, and you hold the other end. Go ahead and stand up, and we'll just kind of go that way. Not too far. Oh, perfect. Look at that. Very nice chain. So, okay, you can come up. Come on back in. So, this chain of remembrance, the idea, Gail, do you remember what the idea was for this chain of remembrance? What did we write on here? What words?
They were words, gifts from God.
Right, gifts from God. Things to remember the good stuff of God. What's the good stuff from God? Like, what's good stuff? What would be it? Well, here, I'll give you some of them. One was compassion. Well, that's a big word that means helping people. What's another one? Mercy. Do you know what mercy means? That's kind of another word for helping people. Someone looks like they're hurt or something bad's happened to them. Like, have you ever seen someone cry?
Yeah.
And if you see someone cry, do you maybe feel bad for them or wonder, like, why are they crying?
Fell from the monkey bars and hit face forward
in
the concrete.
Whoa, yes. She was just talking about incidents outside on the playground, including hitting your face on the pavement, which is very uncool, and that makes you cry, yes. So, right. And so when you see someone cry, you say to yourself, oh, I wonder why they're crying, and you think maybe I can help, or maybe I should go tell the supervisor at the, you know, who's ever watching you, you know, a teacher. What's that? The recess duty people, yes. I don't know the fancy term like that, but the recess duty people, yes. So then there's charity, love. Do you know what love is? I was going to sing a song, but it's too early to sing. Ooh, kindness. How about kindness? Do you know what that is? How could you be kind to someone? Help them. Right, right. Then we have, ooh, sweetness, prayer, fragrance. That was a big one, right. Oh, this is my writing. Can you read what that says? Can you read what that says?
Family.
Family, yes. People, faith. That's on purple writing. Charity, again. Empathy, acceptance, forgiveness. Ooh, there's more here. Growth, life, peace. What is peace?
No fighting.
That's right. Peace is no fighting. Peace is no fighting. Sometimes peace is hard to find, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. And then friends. Do you have a friend at all, either one of you?
Yeah.
Do you have a friend? Okay, I figured you probably had a friend. I have a friend too. One of my friends I've known since third grade. For 42 years I've known this friend.
I'm in third grade.
And you're in third grade. So if you have a friend now, when you're almost 50 like me right now, you'll have had a friend for 42 years. That's math, by the way.
And my friend Olivia, I've known her since I was 3 years old and she's 10.
That's awesome. So I hope you keep that friendship because that's a cool thing of God. So this is the starter chain of remembrance. So what we're going to do today is I've got a thing of strips here. So there's two things I'd like you to do, and I would like you all to do, so we can make this chain nice and big and hang it somewhere in here. Is there's strips of paper, doesn't matter what color, choose whatever color you want, and I want you to do at least two strips, one for yourself. So think of like someone this week, maybe a friend. You want to just do something extra special for that friend. Or look around and maybe you like the word kindness, or maybe you like the word love. But pick a word that you would like to put on this paper, or you could draw a little picture. It doesn't matter, because this is kind of as an offering to God, to say thank you, God, for whatever you want to put on here. You can draw a little picture, or you can draw a word, and then we'll add that to the chain. We won't do that now, we'll do that later. And then take one more for yourself. And you can use this, or if you want two, you could take two and you can make a cross. And you can either take them home with you and do it later, or if you think of something right now, write it on. And for the week, like one of the things I thought of was you could make if you go to the hospital, you get these bands that they put around you, and they tell you, they always ask you when you're wearing one of these bands in your hospital, who are you? What's your birthday? Who are you? What's your birthday? Do you know what your birthday is, when your birthday is? Okay, so you're good in the hospital. Do you know when your birthday is?
February.
Okay, so you both would be okay. Do you know your name?
Love.
Okay, do you know your name?
General.
Okay, good. So they wouldn't question you anymore. That's good. And I'm Eric, and it's 4/15/65. Yes, I'm almost 50. Yes. So you can do that. So take one for yourself, or two if you want, and one for the church, which we'll save in this empty box that I'm going to put up there, okay? So right now when I'm done, you can go over to that table and we'll start writing them. And then anybody during the service, during communion, after the service, there'll be stuff on that table, and then they'll write it to them. We'll get a bunch of new things and make a bigger chain. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? All right. So that's the plan. Make things that remind you of God and God's good stuff that God gives to us. Come on over. Thanks for coming up. Here we go. Happen to have the... I feel like I'm climbing here. Oh, darn it, didn't work. Jeez, that was a lot of work. All right. Well, anyway, here we go. Right here. There we go. More like that. There we go. In my mind, this seemed a lot easier. In my mind. I'm going to take this. So let's make a big chain. So there's your pencils. Make some space there. And then when you're done, put them in the one there and take one with you. So thank you for coming up and helping me with that. All right. So now I've got another bag. Beth said, you sure have a lot of stuff. I sure do. Okay. Make sure we get it all here, and we got it all. All right. Now, this is a thinker one, a joke. Well, you can decide if it's a joke or not, but it is a joke. But you got to, One day, the zookeeper noticed that the monkey was reading two books. The Bible and Darwin's The Origin of Species. In surprise, he asked the monkey, "Why are you reading both these books?" "Well," said the monkey, "I just wanted to know if I was my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother." We'll focus more on Brother's Keeper today. So the question I have is, I couldn't think of a word, whether I wanted to use touch or what the word was, but I chose to use kiss. What does the kiss of grace look like? The kiss of grace from God. And by kiss, I mean something that's intimate, something that is immediate, something that... Well, kiss is just a good thing. And if it's a good thing for us as humans, when it comes from God, what does that look like? What is the kiss of grace from God? And I think our text today has some answers to that. So there, you know, you're in this scene, in this Jesus just calls these four people, and they go into Simon's mother-in-law's house, and she sees that he sees that there's a fever, and he lifts her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So this is the first example of a deacon, a servant who is touched by Jesus, just the hand, which a male would never do to a female like that in this context. But Jesus says, "I have brought the kiss of grace, and so your fever's gone. Rise up." And so who she was as a person in that household, she served, and she served in the same way that Jesus talks about serving later in this gospel. And you remember the Gospel of John, where he's washing his disciples' feet, and that's a form of service. So she's the first deacon in the Gospel of Mark listed. And then they're bringing people to have him heal them, and the demons to go away. And you can figure out what demons are in your life. That's not a problem. But the kiss of grace, how does God come to you? How has God come to you in your life? And as I was reviewing this text, and we were talking about it with the pastor's text study that we do every Wednesday here at church, Jerry Colell, very interesting cat, who's in Yelm, pastor in Yelm, at Emmanuel Lutheran in Yelm. But this is what he said. He said, and he says this of every story, but this sounds simple, but do you see what this really means? So in this story, it sounds simple enough. Jesus, who is God, is healing people. You know, people are being cleansed. Diseases are going away. If you currently are being ravished by a disease, if you'd have been in, you know, if you'd have gotten a hold of Jesus' hand, or he saw you in that mother-in-law's house there outside the door, you got in line and you'd have been healed. But how does that happen today? And something I've learned is sometimes healing happens without a cure. I mean, that's That's a truth. Healing happens without a cure. So how does the kiss of grace come to you? And then to make it just a little more interesting and a little more for you to think about, because Jerry said it's not that simple, look at this psalm. Turn into your bulletins if you wish, or you can just listen to me. But that second light-colored one, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. One question that comes up for me with God is, if the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, isn't the opposite true as well? If God is our creator, couldn't it be that maybe God doesn't heal and that God maybe breaks things up sometimes? And some people, like me, for example, when I had an appendicitis and then I had an infection after and was in the hospital for a week, that changed my life radically. Now, I mean, I was broken, you know, I was broken down. I had an infection. Nobody likes infections. Infections are uncool. And when you have it in your stomach in a softball size, it's very bad. But I was eventually healed of that. And during that time, I found a profound sense of grace. And God just caressed me and kissed me beautifully with people who came and ministered to me. So those are some of the things. But when Jerry says, the scene sounds simple, but do you know what this really means? God comes to us intimately, no matter where we are in life. God's kiss of grace is available. And sometimes it's very surprising. One other pastor, Suzanne Apollo in Gull Harbor Lutheran, she said her experience of grace was she goes and talks with one person in her church who is an older person, and as they're talking, every 3 minutes, this person will say, "Pastor, can you pray with me?" on whatever it is. And then, you know, she'll do a prayer, and then they'll start talking about something. And then she'll, about 3 minutes later, interrupt, "Pastor, can you pray with me?" And so they'll pray. And Suzanne said, for at first, it was, you know, I'll pray for you, and then again. But after that rhythm, and that sense that this is the reign of God, what Jesus is talking about, the reign of God coming and it's near and it's now, that for Suzanne, at least for that pastor in Gull Harbor, that's a kiss of grace right there when she's talking with that woman who is just living her life as best she can and God's grace coming through her, a kiss. There's another idea that maybe you haven't experienced this kiss of grace in the way that I'm talking about. The intimacy of grace. The wonderful intimacy of grace. So Nanette Sawyer, she writes that, this is in relation to this reading, "I imagine myself responding by taking his hand. I literally squeeze my own hand into a fist as though grasping another's hand." This is her as she's contemplating Jesus. "It feels like a victory to perceive this company, this companion, to remember that I was not alone as I had felt in that moment. She was walking with somebody, and that person was telling her some things that were making her, I mean, she was being a great listener, but this person had a lot of tragedy, and she didn't know what to do. And suddenly, Jesus, literally, at least in her mind, comes to her. Metaphorically, Jesus took my hand and raised me up. He raised up my spirits and gave me a glimpse of a future filled with hope. Sometimes what keeps us going, what begins the healing of our broken hearts, is not feeling alone." That's my experience in the hospital, of not feeling alone. And if you've ever felt alone, and then God has come to you, that's the kiss of grace. You're not alone, God tells you. And she calls it, she says it's spiritual companioning. Spiritual companioning. In my, and I like this little approach right here. I'm gonna try it this week. Maybe you might want to too. In my spiritual practice at the time, I had been contemplating the nature of God's presence. I had been practicing contemplative prayer and holding a posture of openness, waiting to see how God might show up. Maybe that's what you need to do this week, or for a season. Open yourself up to God. And see how God will give you the kiss of grace. Maybe it needs to be the kiss of peace. You know, more specific, like some of the wonderful gifts that Thursday Church brought up. But, you know, I opened this darn Time magazine. And, I mean, look at this picture. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a picture of a guy looking over a town in Syria. And the town is Kobani. If I'm saying that right. It's devastating. I mean, I can't imagine it, you know. It looks like a hurricane hit it. That's what it looks like. But it's a hurricane of conflict and war and non-peace, which is fighting. No fighting is what Jesus said. Sometimes the kiss of peace, the kiss of grace comes this way. And this is from Anne Lamott. And this is in a book called Vanishing Grace, Whatever Happened to the Good News, of Philip Yancey. And he's talking about how Christians in our culture are seen as judgmental and they're just not seen as positive, and grace has been lost. And so his point is, how can we find grace again? Because that's a great thing. The kiss of grace, which I don't think he's used that. That's my term. We'll see. He's probably in here because he writes all kinds of awesome stuff and quotes all kinds of people. But how can we find this wonderful sense of grace again of God? And so he goes to Anne Lamott, who gives a version of how grace can come. Again, Anne Lamott writes, "Again and again I tell God I need help. And God says, well, isn't that fabulous? Because I need help too. So you go get that old woman over there some water and listen to her, help her pray." Well, she doesn't say that, I'm adding that. "And I'll figure out what we're going to do about your stuff." So it turns out, sometimes grace comes in the form of service. But many times, that you may not be in the right mind, but you see, God puts in front of you, or in front of you is put a scene where someone is crying, where you show mercy, or are given the opportunity to show mercy, or love, or forgiveness, or kindness, or some of the other things, gratitude, the things that were written on there. And maybe that's for you what you need to do this week to someone in your, who's a family member, or a friend, or a colleague, or a random person on the, wherever you see them, in the store, in your life. Maybe you can offer them a kiss of grace. So, what is the kiss of grace? This is really what it looks like, this story, finally. And this is from Richard Seltzer. And this is what he talks about when he talks about touch, which that's what kissing is ultimately. You're touching someone intimately. And so this is God's intimacy with us. This is the image that I like best right now. So he writes, "I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted, palsied, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, had been severed to remove the tumor in her cheek. I had cut the little nerve. The young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It is because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. "I like it," he says. "It is kind of cute." He bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close that I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate her, to show her that their kiss still works. I hold my breath and let the wonder in. That's the kiss of grace. Amen.